In this edition of Comic Pop Visits, the crew visits with Matthew Guernsey, the Kilted Man. Matthew has been a performer his whole life and has always loved Celtic music. As a professional musician, his choice of genre is still Celtic music. Matthew is connected with the Unbound Booking Agency. If you are interested in booking him for a performance, whether it be a small or large venue, you can do so at www.unboundbooking.com or contact him directly at www.thekiltedman.com. These links will be provided for you on the post. I would like to thank Jessica Bauer of Unbound Booking for assisting us in setting up this visit. And now, our visit with Matthew Guernsey, the Kilted Man.
Let us pause in life's pleasures and count its many tears while we all sup sorrow with the poor. There's a song that will linger forever in our ears. Oh, hard times come again no more. Is the song a sigh of the weary? Our times come again no more. Many days you have lingered around my cabin door. Oh, our times come again no more.
Welcome to another Comic Pop Visits. This is Richard along with
Chris,
Matt,
April,
and Logan.
And we are joined today with the Celtic musician Matthew Guernsey of Jamestown, Colorado. Would you rather be called Matt or Matthew?
Oh, either one's fine. Matt, I'm fine with.
All right. Well, we appreciate you joining us here today.
I'll call you G.
G. Whatever makes you feel good, I think.
Yo, G.
With your first performing group, the Muse.
The Muses, that's right.
We actually had you at our library a couple of years ago, and we bought the disc that you had on sale for Logan. He enjoys the Celtic music. It was probably more out of the four of us in our family.
What?
But we all enjoy the Celtic, but Logan really especially enjoys the fantasy and Celtic music. But how long were you with them before you broke out on your own?
Let's see. I think the Muses played for nearly 10 years.
Dying.
That's not all that long in the Celtic community. You know? The chieftains have been at it at least since the 1800s.
I got it.
Wait. Do they sparkle? Do they sparkle?
Yeah, absolutely.
And when you were growing up, you did a lot of stuff in the school, performing arts as well as stage. What led you to the Celtic music as the choice of your genre?
Well, I think it was probably my family and upbringing. Up here in Colorado, up in the mountains, my father was a hard rock miner, and in the very small community in which I grew up, the electricity goes out all the time. That still actually does. And so when the electricity would go out and the power would go down, we would all basically sit around in the living room with nothing.
You have a drum solo.
Exactly. And everybody would pick an instrument, and we'd sit around and sing and play songs. And the ones that we played were often Celtic, because that's what we know.
Yeah, on your website, it says that your heritage is from Scotland, but it also said that you had lived there for a time. So, how was that? Because it's cold there.
Well, about the same as it is here, actually. Just it's a lot more damp there.
So, like Florida, but cold.
Yes, it's exactly like Florida.
Yes.
So long as you take the exception that it's nothing at all like Florida.
Whatever.
Whatever, G.
With your unique upbringing in rural Colorado, that was part of your influence. But was there anything that really tied you? Did you get into your ancestry besides just the music, or was it just primarily your music that got you into the Celtic?
Oh, no, the ancestry as well. there was a book that my mother, my mother was a librarian, and so she had me read lots of books, but there was one in particular that she made me read early on. It was called The Chieftains, and it's the story of Sir William Wallace. So it's quite a gory book, actually. But from then, I started really trying to learn about the, you know, the specific heritage and my family. And then the music, it gives a new life to all the songs, because a lot of the songs have very clear and poignant historical references. And so the more personal that those are, the more interesting the music becomes.
And since you've been doing it so long, it said that you had been to multiple countries, right?
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, so I was wondering, like, how do people differ from country to country? Like, what's normal from country to country?
What's
music is normal.
To country.
Well,
you mean,
like,
besides Coca-Cola.
Really?
No, I'm kidding.
That's like, I don't think so.
What country you're in?
Are they acceptable to the Celtic music pretty much throughout all the different countries, or
are they nice?
I blame the Irish. The Scots got around quite a bit as well, but the Irish have been absolutely everywhere. And so it doesn't matter what country you're in. Everybody has Irish roots, it seems. So there are Celtic communities in the most unlikely of places. I played the Scottish festival a few years in Hawaii, and it was just loads of fun. The lads out there are used to wearing skirts anyway, so they're very accustomed to it.
Hawaii scares me.
Hawaii scares you?
They were grass skirts, not kilts, though, right?
Just remember, Hawaii's not very scary. It's exactly like Florida, given that it's nothing.
Well, the water freaks me out, dude. I'm going to drown.
I thought it would have been the volcanoes.
No.
People often actually drowned in volcanoes.
If you don't melt first, it's possible.
It is possible.
With the variety of instruments you played, I know you had quite a few, and you've lost quite a few as well in your recent mishap with your house, if you want to explain what happened there. But how many of your instruments have you gotten back, and describe some of the variety of instruments that you play?
Oh, dear. Well, I lost, to encapsulate it, I had my house burned down. And it was actually the house, I had come back and purchased the house that I grew up in. And so all of my instruments and everything that was in the house went away. And so I've been trying to replace them as fast as I can. But of course, there are a whole bunch, you know, handed down in the family that are irreplaceable. But I've probably replaced, I don't know, let's see, on stage. I played a show on Saturday and had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, probably 8 instruments with me. So I've replaced at least that many.
Well, you're getting a good start then.
it's a beginning, at least.
What is your favorite instrument to play, or what is your preference?
Kazoo.
Hands down, I have to say my favorite instrument is my voice.
I didn't expect that.
It
makes total sense.
I was expecting kazoo.
Kazoo?
Yeah.
The kazoo, yeah. Well, that's the kazoo would go right behind the nose whistle.
Yeah, you can you can rock it.
Absolutely.
Well, I know some of the ones that you had, one of them was the more circular drum with the two ends that you play with. I can't remember what, like I said, it's been 2 years ago. That was the one that I remember the most with you playing.
It
was
steel drum?
Kind of neat.
No.
No, I'm that's what I'm thinking. No.
Oh no, no. This one is an Irish instrument, and they call it a drum.
What? Oh my gosh.
No, it's a boran. BODHRAN.
G, you be cray. It's a drum.
You don't know what you're going to get when you have teenagers in the room. We appreciate your mother being a librarian, because we are geared for libraries, which we definitely want to push the word out to various libraries, and everybody listens to us. But you performed in a variety of venues. Is there any difference when it comes to the larger venues and the smaller venues?
Oh, my goodness, there's a huge difference. But a lot of the difference is based upon how familiar the audience is already to Celtic music. So if I play a Scottish festival, say there's 30,000 people that go to the festival, there's a possibility that I've got, 2 to 3,000 of them under the tent with me, listen, you know, there for my show. And when that's the case, most of them have already heard a lot of the songs, and most of them know a lot of the songs and are happy to sing along. And so, so for those sorts of shows, you really want to gauge between old familiars that everybody absolutely has to hear and brand new songs that perhaps they've never heard, or your own originals, of course, that they haven't heard. And then if I'm playing, say, as an example, at a library in you know, the inner city of Chicago, then a lot of the kids there may never have heard any Scottish music at all. And so I play different things, things that might seem a little more familiar, things that have a beat that is more familiar for them to follow. When I played a tour in November, I went from Arizona all the way through all the southern states down to Florida, of course, which is strikingly similar to Florida. And then I came back up and played through Alabama and Kansas, of course, which is fantastic. And,
not what you lying there.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't know the triangle.
When I played the southern states, then I had to make sure that I played a few Celtic songs that resembled country music, because I had requests, of course.
And you mentioned differing from old school, I should say, Celtic songs and new ones. On your album, how many of them or any are originals?
You mean on the most recent album, on Hard Times?
Yeah, yes, because I recognize at least two that I've heard before.
Sure. I'm looking at the list here, and I've got at least... looks like there are about five that are a very traditional, old Celtic songs that the older audience would all know. And then there are a few that are quite new.
Okay.
And in fact, on this particular album, there's at least one song that's not really Celtic at all. So
there was one that sounded like Lord of the Rings to Dad and Logan.
Well, the first what, 16 seconds of it or so.
Yeah, the intro. I don't know. I don't pay attention to Lord of the Rings that much.
Fair enough.
It was the intro to the Wild Mountain Time.
Oh, all right.
I kind of, when I heard that first coming up, I flashed to Frodo and the Hobbits.
Oh, dude, watching the Hobbit made me want to watch Lord of the Rings again, because I'm like, Frodo, I miss you.
Well, the Celtic music certainly has a good holdover for all of that. In fact, to plug a... another Celtic band, Emerald Rose, I think, is out playing, if not, they're coming right up to play for the Hobbits Oscar party. So
that's cool.
That's cool.
That's cool.
It goes pretty well. And they're a well-known Celtic band in the community. So,
do you find out with the Lord of the Rings movies that Celtic music has risen more than what it was in the past?
That's a good question. I haven't actually noticed that myself. It seems like the folks that really got into The Hobbit and then come out to the shows pretty much would have come out, you know, they sort of like the fantasy genre anyway, and that demographic tends to also really soak up Celtic music. So.
Okay. And just as an offshoot, just enter my head, I know there's a festival right around Colorado Springs area, or Castle Rock. Do you attend that at all, the Renaissance Festival there with your performances?
The Colorado Renaissance Festival. I've played the Colorado Renaissance Festival all told maybe 10 years, not in chronological order. I think the first year that I played the Colorado Renaissance Festival was probably like 1988.
Tell people that.
Had teenagers in the
they'll start doing math.
and then I've played Renaissance festivals all over the country, probably about maybe 10 to 18 different Renaissance festivals all over the country at one time or another.
Going back to the smaller venues, unless anybody else has any questions, with the kids there, you mentioned them, and do you allow them to come up and look and kind of play with the instruments, or are you kind of like bouncing them back, playing
back
goalie.
Off, bro. Back
oh,
off.
No, not at all. Now that it's just me, when I was playing with the Muses, we had a harp in the band, and the harp was very fragile. And we were always concerned about, you know, little fingers up for the harp. The person that played the harp, you know, was concerned for her instrument. But my instruments are, especially since the fire, I try to go for fairly bulletproof instruments. So I'm happy to have audience members come up of all ages and discuss with them and answer any questions. And, you know, I'll, as much as I can, I like to interact and engage the audience.
Cool.
How far does that go? Do you let the ladies lift the kilt?
Oh, well, that's a bit of a personal question.
Okay.
Honestly, want to listen,
be able to do that.
Listen,
no.
I got this. Aka awkward.
The most trouble that I have with that is actually in the elderly audience amongst the sweet little old ladies.
So like Michael Bublé.
What's that?
So like Michael Bublé. People asked him about that, and they were like, yeah, those old ladies really dig me.
That's the only actual trouble I've ever had with that has been, on all occasions, has been
older ladies.
Nope.
An older audience.
So I'm taking it you wear a kilt in the traditional sense.
Well, absolutely.
Okay. You know
is
what
it,
that
is there any
right?
other way?
Well, it defeats the purpose, doesn't it?
Well, yeah.
With your Hard Times CD, I notice it's still unavailable to purchase. Is it going to be available soon for libraries or general public to purchase on your website?
That certainly will. I'm looking for, within the next couple of months, to be able to set that up as an online purchase. I'm reserving it still up until at least throughout March as a in-person only purchase. So it is available for purchase. I've got quite a few copies of it, but you have to catch me at a live show.
And I'd be remiss if I didn't thank Jessica for sending us a copy to review.
Absolutely. I have to thank Jessica as well and all of Unbound Booking for the amazing work that they do. Since you plugged libraries, I'd like to give Unbound Booking a quick little plug or for the younger audience, a shout out, I suppose they say.
Yeah.
And did I get that right? Is that right?
And something that's real cool on your album is on the inside, on the sleeve that holds the CD, you've got what looks like eighth notes in a pattern. Is there like a significant reason of how that came about, or like just one day you're like, hey, this is cool?
That's my logo. I had made the logo for the Muses, and it was fantastic. And then I had it on everything. I even had it, you know, on my boots and stuff. We were together for a long time. And so then when I went out on my own, I had to have a new logo. So there it is. Do you like it?
I do.
All right.
So you're multi-talented.
Multi-colored.
There you go.
Yeah, it's got different colors.
It's purple and green and auburn.
That is a pretty cool logo.
I'll show it to Matt here.
Thanks a lot.
At first when I saw it, I was like, something's off here. And then I took a little bit of time. I was like, it's eighth notes. So
there you go.
At first it kind of looks like an old symbol that you would find.
Like a Celtic symbol.
Exactly. I was going for something that would look like a Celtic knot and at the same time be a little edgy. And because with the Muses, mostly the demographic that we were working with tended to be older audiences. And now that working solo, I work a lot with all age audiences. And so I wanted something that was a little more up to the times and had kind of an edge to it. And then something that, of course, bespoke music. And so that's what I came up with.
I like it.
Well, thanks.
I was just doing some browsing on the web, and I was wondering if there was a website that the Muses have.
We used to, of course, but it's probably down now.
Oh, okay.
He has a website.
Do you have a website?
Absolutely. It's thekiltedman.com.
You better remember. That's, one second, let me Google it. I'll get it.
Where do I find the Kilted Man again? Oh, yeah, that's it.
You can find everything on Google.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm. My friends do.
Yeah, no doubt that's true.
What's the writing of songs? You said you wrote 5 originals. Do you find it harder to write original songs in this style of music than whether it be pop or rock or whatever type of country, is it harder to try to write in the traditional style?
Well, I would say that my natural genre for writing music, you know, the music that I most often hear in my head is thrash metal.
Wow.
Oh, you're all laughing at no.
All right. Can we
get a sample of that?
Absolutely.
So we might
this is the music that I grew up with. So this is the music in my head.
I was going to say that might be pretty neat, a Celtic thrash metal.
I could steer you to a couple of Celtic thrash bands.
There's probably some out there. Yeah, really? It's like there's absolutely probably some out there. And like that, things like, since Celtic music is usually like you just talk about it and people think, oh, that's so old and only old people sing that. Like, is there any sense of trying to modernize
songs? Oh, my goodness. Celtic rock is huge. Look for Gaelic Storm is one of the larger, more popular current Celtic rock bands. Right, of course you've heard of it. Women, of course. That
Celtic
you see
Thunder. What?
I'm a big fan of Celtic women everywhere, but particularly that group.
Make entry.
I got that, man. I don't know if April got it, but I got that one.
No, I'm too busy spazzing out right now.
She was. It was hilarious to watch.
Celtic rock, Celtic music has you know, been modernized in lots of ways. I specifically tend to toward traditional Celtic music, but I have toyed with the idea, and if I were to try to modernize what I was doing a bit, I would probably go with the Celtic steampunk myself. So,
ooh, dude, gosh. He was just talking about that on the way here.
See, there, wouldn't that be fun? I was thinking I could set up my concertina for steam, you know, so that as I play it, steam shoots out the ends. That'd be great.
That'd be really cool. What?
If you can make, I haven't seen this question on the thing. Go ahead, Logan, though.
And if you can make something that seems similar to steampunk in the altered instruments as well, that would be cool.
Yeah, it would be cool.
Steampunk is instruments.
Steampunk in what kind of instruments?
Steampunk your instruments.
Oh, absolutely. That's what I was thinking. That'd be a stitch. So. It's on the back burner. I thought I should rebuild my house first.
Yeah.
What? No.
I see you have I see you're playing. You have an event coming up in March.
Do I?
Says Do March, I? Thursday, March 14th in Longmont.
I have no idea. I never know when or where I'm playing. That's why I keep a calendar.
Oh, okay. I thought I'd let you plug it.
I only got the alarm on my phone for this podcast about a half hour ago.
Oh, wow. Cool.
I should change my shirt, and now it's an audio podcast, of course.
So yeah. I'll plug it for you. It's you're playing in Longmont Public Library at 7 o'clock Thursday, March 14th.
Oh, that'll be a standing room only show, I'm sure. So if you if you're local and you want to catch that, come early. I'm not kidding about that.
That's nice.
That's actually.
I was going to say, since we were talking about venues, you know, how does one go about getting you to play, you know, at a venue somewhere? Do they contact you? Do they?
I'm so glad that you asked. What an excellent question. Thank you. The easiest way, particularly if the venue is an educational or cultural venue, is to log on to Unbound Booking at unboundbooking.com, naturally. and there you can look through, they've got a catalog of maybe 50 different artists that are all fantastic and play all over the country. And I am one of those, and you can book me straight there. You can probably book me right through the website. And if not, then there are phone numbers there that you can contact. Also, if you would rather contact me directly, then you can go to my website, again, thekiltedman.com, and then there's some contact information there, and you can shoot me an email, and we set up a time.
It's good information to know. Let him plug it.
Absolutely. I appreciate you having me. That was awfully nice of you. Thank you.
All right. So we can also find you on Facebook and Twitter as well.
Can you? That's exciting.
You can find him on Facebook?
Yep.
Bullcrap.
The Kilted Facebook.
Oh.
Kilted Facebook. That's
okay.
I have to admit to you that I'm not very good with the social media myself. And so sometimes I get some help with that.
Yeah, okay. See, because I looked up your name on Facebook to see if there was a page for you, but it just went to your actual page. I'm like, I don't want to be all that creeper chick and just adding you as an actual friend. So I'm like,
Well, I think if you look up The Kilted Man on Facebook, okay. you should find me there in a professional capacity.
Yeah, so I was like, nerd.
You're welcome to look me up creepy. In the personal capacity on Facebook, but I hardly ever post or do anything there, so it's probably not that exciting. But The Kilted Man Facebook should also have announcements for upcoming shows and things going on.
I'm sure Jessica does all that.
Jessica actually does quite a bit of that. I'm booking, takes very good care of all the
Some of the unusual stuff about Celtic music, we were kind of, one song in particular just kind of popped out to me when we were listening to it, My Son John.
Oh, isn't that fantastic?
I was like, where did, you know, it's like a lot of these.
It's about a dude that son's got legs blown up.
Well, I'm glad you caught that.
So it's like whoever's, whatever experience they're experiencing, that's what's written about.
Well, it's something I've noticed, having, you know, traveled quite a bit and studied music all over the world. One of the things I've noticed is that cultures generally that have been oppressed or have had, on a cultural level, very difficult times, tend to write very upbeat music. Sometimes it may be about sad subjects, but it tends to be very upbeat, just like My Son John. Whereas cultures that that tend to be in charge, tend to be rich and thriving, tend to write just dreadfully depressing music. I'm not sure quite why that works out that way, but it does seem to. And, of course, with My Son John, that's an Irish song. And in Ireland, they've had all sorts of difficulty out there. And, of course, in Scotland, we've had quite a bit of trouble over the years with some of our neighbors as well. So,
well, that's one of the things is a lot of people don't understand that the Celtic influence spread into Europe, and then they were eventually pushed back into just Ireland. When you think of the Celtic word, what area does that stretch for you? Is it just Ireland and Scotland, or does it go further?
Oh, no. That's all the seven nations. So that will include Ireland and Scotland, of course, but anywhere in the UK.
The seven nations.
That's right.
Do you mean continents? No joke.
She is blonde.
No, I'm serious. I've never heard of the Seven Nations. They didn't teach us this.
Oh, dear. See, they're remiss.
I live in Kansas, remember.
Go Google Seven Nations, and you'll find a fantastic band that I've shared the stage with, and also some historical references.
Dude, just tell me the nations.
my mother was a librarian, remember? And any question I ever asked in my whole life, her answer was, go look it up.
God.
It's dreadful, isn't it? But it's so much easier now.
Yeah. Very, very much easier.
Oh, phones.
Phones, yes.
Seriously, I guess.
They're all looking it up now, see there.
Seven.
You didn't think this was going to be an educational podcast, did you?
Dude, you just got to remember where I'm from. No, never mind. No, don't remember that. I'm not even from Kansas, so.
He's seen your
remember
face.
Where I
he
live.
Knows where you live.
Offhand, I was going probably. To guess Florida.
Good God, no. I'm from Oklahoma.
Oh, I hear that's exactly like Florida, except, you know.
Except
not
me. Better?
Not me, but like Florida.
Wow, what a coincidence. It's better. It's pretty nice up there, down there, I guess, since I'm in Kansas.
In Oklahoma.
I like it.
You like it?
I see.
Well,
Seven Nations
like
is
it.
A rock, is
wait.
A Celtic rock band.
Oh.
That's right.
I had to look it up.
I've played with them, shared the stage with them. I haven't actually, we don't play many of the same songs, so it's not like we've played together. But
I'm still on the homepage because I'm like,
Oklahoma is okay. It is.
Wait, I think I got this.
They're all trying. I'm the only one. I'm the only one here without a device.
It's so. The reason it's so quiet is because we're looking this up.
Well, Matt, I'm not doing that.
I had to look up the band.
I'm letting them do all the work for me.
Okay, I got during Joshua's time. So is it in like?
No.
No.
Well, I
no,
got.
Basically, it encompasses the UK.
Okay, because I got the Seven Nations of Canaan, which I'm pretty sure isn't right.
No, I don't think that's what you're looking for.
Okay, because everything else was music.
that's a long, long time ago.
I've got five of the seven. Scotland, Ireland, Wales, Brittany, Cornwall.
Brittany.
Cornwall.
Okay.
No, not Spears.
I got Wales, though. I knew Wales was one.
There's no doing it again for that country.
But most people don't realize that they did spread over almost the entire continent of Europe at one point. And it was the Romans, I think, that beat them back into pretty much Ireland.
Well, I think a lot of Scotland would take exception to that. They actually built Hadrian's Wall, the Romans did, to keep the Scots out. They tried to go take it over, and they failed so miserably that then they were concerned that those heathens up there would come down and take over Rome. So they built a wall.
All right. I knew they went into England. I didn't realize they built the wall to separate Scotland as well.
They did. It was to defend themselves.
Okay. So I learned something too, April.
You didn't know that? That was when they were considered the barbarians?
Well, I knew that. You know,
said that as though it were in the past tense. Is that?
I said we're known as. Yeah, I guess that was past tense.
This apple be good.
Well, is there anything else you would like to push forward that you have going on, Matt? I know that you're really busy with recovering everything, but is there any type of venues that you'd like to definitely push out that you were going to in the near future?
I'm playing a couple of conventions coming up, science fiction and fantasy sorts of conventions, and a couple of Scottish festivals. I haven't actually got any Renaissance festivals booked yet this year, but you never know. The year is young. And then a lot of this year is still rebuilding. I'm holding my end of this podcast from the shell of the house, so there's quite a bit of work to be done yet. And then replacing the instruments. And then when the house burned, unfortunately, I had two almost completed CDs that were on my hard drive.
Ooh.
And naturally all that went up, and so now I'm a bit remiss in my CDs that I have to sell, and so I'm looking to put out probably two more CDs this year, and so I've got quite a bit on my plate.
So Hard Times is just one of three, or is it one of three?
That's correct, and then hopefully there will be a couple more, at least one more this year, hopefully two more this year, and then that will give me enough to be touring with again.
So checking back on your website to the store to see what's available.
There is this one place in Canyon City, Colorado, where they do this like artist night or whatever it is, where they like artists will go and just
perform
that night. So that'd be a cool outlet.
That's fun. I don't actually have much trouble finding venues to play. If I have any difficulty, it's being able to get the venues lined up so that, you know, they're chronologically and geographically in the same place. You know, it's common that I have somebody that wants me to play in New York and then the next week somebody that wants me to play in California, and that's just not very economical.
Well, what we'll do on our website for everybody that's listening, we have a concert and tour dates section on our left-hand side on the top corner. If you'll, on our left-hand sidebar, right now we only have 660 on there, and we're reserving that for musicians that give us the pleasure of having them do visits with us. So we'll add your link there so that they can go to your page, and if we can link directly to your calendar as well, we'll do that specifically, but at least to your page for sure.
Oh, that's fantastic. And do you mind if I give another quick plug for Unbound Booking?
No, go ahead.
All right, so Unbound Booking caters quite a bit to libraries, all cultural and educational venues, and on their website they have calendars set up for every one of their performers, and they have performers that do all kinds of things, from African drumming and storytelling, of course, to Celtic music. They had somebody that juggled chainsaws. You know, they had all sorts of crazy things. And all of them are well suited to libraries. I know the chainsaw one was about. I think what he did was he taught juggling at libraries.
Maybe some fire juggling could come to Dodge Public Library.
I remember one time we were doing like this whole Renaissance thing at my school in sixth grade.
Right.
And we were out at the track, and the track encompasses the football field. So we're like juggling with these cloths to try to get the pattern right. And then me and my friend kind of got that down, so we went into the grass, like in the middle of the field, so we won't hit no one, with the whatever it was. I don't know what it was.
Bowling balls?
Probably.
Some bonk.
Some sort of cylinder thing. I don't know. But so we started working on it, and all of a sudden the sprinklers go off. And so first we're freaking out, it's soaking in the middle of the field, and then we have to run back.
Then you should try that in a kilt.
I'm sure anything in a kilt cannot be, in the way of physical exercise, cannot be a lot of fun. I'm kind of curious
jogging,
how they wore them.
Long jump.
It's exciting.
Pole vault, high jump.
Dude, not...
When you go to Scottish festivals, they have whole rather lengthy athletic competitions that are on a national scale and sometimes an international scale. Some of those are quite exciting.
They have...
I myself won the caber toss 1 year. So.
Sweet.
Oh. What's the one with the really big...
The caber.
That's what he's
the really
about.
Big pole. Yes. Cable. Caber.
I was just about to mention that.
Well, there you go.
I was like, it looks like a telephone pole. don't know what it's called, though.
So anyway, to finish my quick plug, if you were looking for artists that might be in your area, I think you can go to the Unbound Booking website at unboundbooking.com and put in your zip code. You set up sort of a login, and then it automatically shows you a calendar that shows artists that are in your area. And if that's not currently on their website, it will be within a month. That's a new thing that they're working on. It's quite exciting.
Well, we definitely enjoyed your latest CD, and like I said, we do have the Muse CD as well that Logan bought a couple of years ago. So anybody out there that's interested in Celtic music, definitely go to the website, pick up the current CDs that are available, and look forward to Hard Times being available hopefully in the near future.
Thank you.
If not, check out your local areas, and Matt might be coming to your either local library or some other type of venue. So go out and visit with him because he's a whole lot of fun. We've had him at our library, and he's very entertaining. So,
well, thank you.
And he's pretty centered in the middle of the United States, so it's just a day drive to Colorado.
Oh, that's right. It's true.
Maybe two. Maybe.
Whoa, Logan, did you just forget where you live?
Oh, yeah.
I'm not actually all that often in Colorado, so it's more likely that I'll be near you wherever you are.
All right, well, Matt, I appreciate you joining us today, and enjoy your company. I hope you enjoyed it as well.
I certainly did. This was quite entertaining. Thank you very much.
All right.
Hey, I hope you recover well from your fire.
Thank you. I really appreciate it.
Yes, definitely.
Yep.
All right. Well, have a good day, Matt.
Cheers.
Bye.
Yep. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Saloncha.
While we seek mirth and beauty, and music light and gay, their frail forms fainting at the door. Though their voice is silent, their pleading looks will say, oh, hard times come again no more. If the song, the sigh of the weary, hard times, come again no more. Many days you have lingered around my cabin door. Oh, hard times, come again no more.
Thank you for listening to Comic Pop Library. We welcome your comments and suggestions by emailing us at admin@comicpoplibrary.com. All emails submitted become the property of Comic Pop Library and are subject for use in our show. We would also appreciate it if you would spread the word about Comic Pop Library by posting about us on Twitter, Facebook, or just tell someone about us. This podcast is not endorsed by any comic book publisher or distributor and is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. The views and comments of the show host are their own and are not reflective of any business, entity, or organization associated with ComicPopLibrary.com.